For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
All right, we've kept her waiting long enough. His name was Elwood Edwards.
Elwood Edwards. Old and wait, Elwood. For those of you just joining us, Elwood apparently coined some phrase, and it's three words. Mm-hmm. My phone has exploded with my girlfriend's listening, all trying to figure out what the three words are.
By the way, Scott and I might have been Mandela affected here.
Because there's two versions of the three-word phrase.
Because when we both read the phrase, we heard it differently than what you're about to hear, but this is the true original.
This is the original. It was later redone by a woman.
Yes.
Okay, so real quick, I have two guesses, and I want you to look on the text line. I'm sure we have guesses there.
One of the correct answer is all over the text line.
One of the guesses is you've got mail.
Okay, what are the other guesses?
Kmart sucks. From Rain Man.
Results are in.
Don't give me a hint, but tell me again. It was something, three words that were somehow attached to a product that ended up in a very famous movie.
Very famous.
Where's the beef?
I said the same thing.
Elwood Edwards, he sadly passed at the age of 74. He was a behind-the-scenes graphics and camera operator at a local Cleveland TV station, WKYC, whose voice was propelled to worldwide fame after he recorded this.
You've got mail.
Oh! My girlfriend Heather was right. She thought it was you've got mail.
It's not Waits and Fish?
No.
Way better if it was Waits and Fish. So that was that an actual noise that way, way, way back when? It was an actual noise that when mail came into your earliest email system, it actually said that.
Mm-hmm. If by way, way, way back when, you mean like 15 years ago?
No, it was in the 90s. This was during
30 years ago.
This was during dial-up in the 90s.
This was AOL.
Yes, that's right.
I remember this sound.
He recorded four phrases for AOL. The first one was, welcome. You've got mail.
Wow.
Files done and goodbye. You remember that? When
yes.
You would log out of AOL, it would
it's
go,
it's been years.
Goodbye. His wife, Karen, worked at Quantum Computer Services, which later became AOL. In 1989, she overheard former CEO of America Online, Steve Case, discussing adding a voice to the upcoming AOL software. She volunteered her husband, and Elwood Edwards recorded the phrases on a cassette deck in his living room. He was heard by hundreds of millions of people and became a staple part of the AOL experience. AOL and,
got mail.
AOL and CNN had shared common ownership for about 15 years, but are no longer related. Quoting here from Edwards in a 2019 interview, I had no idea it would become what it did. I don't think anybody did. Suddenly, AOL took off. I remember standing in line at CompUSA and seeing stacks of AOL CDs and thinking, my voice is on every one of those and no one here has a clue.
Yes, the background picture for the video of the You've Got Mail is a picture of the disc to download AOL, the program.
Half of the landfills in this country are filled with AOL CD-ROMs.
Because back in the day, kids, when you wanted to download a program onto your computer, you had to have that program on a CD.
There's a noise.
Oh.
And a CD, kids, is a dial-up? Compact disc.
Let me see if I can find
God,
that.
Oh, God, it's terrible, but strangely nostalgic.
Did we ever figure out if it was a different sound for everybody or if it was just a canned sound?
No, that is a
that
horrible.
For everybody?
Oh, there it is.
Here it goes. Oh.
God. But that was also the sound of excitement.
See, we all
Okay. All right, enough.
Oh, my word.
Why was it so loud?
I don't know.
Why did we hear the exact same sound? I think it was recorded and just embedded into the computers for when we were trying to dial up the motor.
Enough of that.
Yeah, no more. Sounds like
although back in the day,
shuttle.
It was like, oh, I'm about to get on the internet.
Do you remember taking the handset of the phone and putting it into the modem?
Yes, I do. Do you remember?
1900s,
do you
man.
Remember what the internet was originally called?
The information superhighway.
That is correct.
The World Wide Web.
Well, first it was the info, because I remember being in Professor Rivers' class, Adrian Rivers at KU, in the spring, either the fall of 93 or the spring of 94. And I know I've told Dana this story before, but Professor Rivers came into class, and yes, Dr. Rick was in that class. He sat right next to me. It was very funny. And she said, something is coming down the line that is going to completely change how we do journalism. And we're like, okay, what? And she said, and she like leaned in like she was telling a secret. She goes, it's called the information superhighway. And every student, there was like 20 of us in the class at the Dole building. And we were all like, what is the information superhighway?
Sounds fantastic.
And she said there will be things called websites, which made no sense.
Oh, I just rolled my eyes. I was like, next.
Yeah, this old lady doesn't know what she's talking about. And it's going to be all the information in the world is going to be available on a computer.
Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you just go to the library?
And
I remember thinking
Dewey
that.
Decimal system.
But I'm just fine.
We had been thinking about this for years before that. Remember all those little films from the 50s and 60s about the home of the modern or the future where you'd be able to interact with the screen, pull up all the menus for your week-longs? We've been thinking about this and wanting
what
it.
What she should have
and
said, Dan, is we have been waiting for
fruition.
This. We have been wanting this. It's going to be the greatest thing that has ever happened to the world, and it is
worst.
Going to be the worst thing that has ever happened to the world.
Mm-hmm. And you'll be able to access it in your basement.
But at the time,
everybody's thing.
They had no idea that it was going to be the worst thing to ever happen to the world.
Well, but you have to understand, Sam, we couldn't even, as it was being explained to us in college,
we didn't know what she was talking about.
We couldn't even conceive of what she was trying to describe. It didn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm.
This, because computers were for, you know, well, let's be honest, they were for business purposes only, usually for accounting.
Or to play word games and
right.
role play
or
word
calculators.
Games.
Yeah, I mean, it was
calculating.
You would have this gigantic Texas Instruments computer at home, and people would write code. I didn't even know what that meant.
I do love that you guys talked to me like I was born in like 2010.
No, but the original Sam, You Got Mail, that goes back. Oh, I mean, that movie came out what year? 97? Oh, it was before that. It was the follow-up to Sleepless in Seattle. I mean, really, with Tom Hanks and
98.
Meg Ryan. 98? Really, was it?
I was alive for a whole year.
Uh-huh.
That's why we talked to you the way we talked to you.
Mm-hmm.
You were 1 year old in 98.
And in 1998, there were still a lot of people that did not have a computer
well,
in their house.
I remember when the internet first came out, I used to go to the KU computer lab.
I did too, with the dot matrix printers.
Yes. And I would log into the internet at the KU computer lab, even though I had already graduated, but that was the only place I knew where computers were available, where you could goof around on the internet.
And type out your papers and print them.
Remember, we did a story not too long ago about the first website. I think the owner or the creator of the first website ever created had either passed away.
Oh, yeah. He would be long past, I would think.
And I showed you a picture of the first ever website, and it is just completely impressive.
Like the Atari version of what we have now.
It was a black screen or a black page with green writing on it.
My grandma used to say, I don't get on the web. I don't even know. I'm afraid I'm going to get lost in there, and I don't even know what goes on.
Sadly, many people have.
I don't even know what goes on in there. when we get back, I need our mathematicians to help us quantify the odds the fun, amazing, lovely astronomical odds when it comes to what happened with a group of retirees who went out to play golf yesterday. While everyone else was either having a good day or the worst day ever yesterday, this group of long retired buddies had a great day. And I don't know how to calculate
17 million to one
what it was that happened, but it's going to be millions to one.
Well, it's 17 million to one.
It's even higher than that. You're taking the probability of a hole in one happening and multiplying it by two.
It's higher than that.
A hole in one happening back to back brings in a series of other factors.
All right, quick break. 913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Now, she's had three in her illustrious career, three being holes in one.
Yeah, sorry for killing your tease.
That's all right, Sam.
It's not Sam.
Way to go.
Math gets me excited, man.
I get this amazing email last night. It was actually Chris that sent it. And it says, from someone named Joe, it says, today I witnessed, along with two buddies, two holes in one made on hole number 8 at Adams Point Golf Course in Blue Springs. Dave Hayes and Tom Haynes, both residents of Blue Springs, were in this group and made back-to-back holes in one while playing in the foursome. The course told them it was the first in the course's history that they're aware of. Of course, that would be true for most courses, I think. And they put the odds at 1 in 31,000, and I'm going to respectfully disagree with that, and we'll do the math in a bit. But I immediately reached out to these guys and said, could you please come on the program? Because I think this is such a fun story, and we could all use some good news.
Let's start with Dave. Dave, give us the details. How did this go down?
And congratulations.
Thank you. Now, we were on number 8 and getting ready to hit. Tom hit his first, and it went towards the pin, and then I couldn't see anymore. He said, well, I think that went in. So I said, okay. So I hit mine. I hit it. I got a good strike on it. It went, there's a little mound in front of the pin. You can't see the bottom of the cup. But Tom was on a different angle. He says, I think that went in. you got to be kidding me. I said, okay, we get up to the green. There's no balls on the green. We thought, guys, I know we didn't go over. Got up to the cup, looked down, and there was two golf balls sitting in the bottom of the cup.
I'll be darned.
David, what was your immediate reaction once you saw them? Because every golfer, when you pull up to the green and there's no ball that you can see on the green, you have that, like, your heart drops a little, and you're like, all right, is it off the back or is it in the cup? What did you think when you finally figured out there were two in the cup?
Oh, when we got up there and we saw this two in the cup, this is my analogy. Have you ever seen Shaquille O'Neal hug somebody and do a happy dance up and down?
Yes.
That's what we did.
How many yards was it, Dave?
138, 140, something like that.
And what did you hit?
I hit a 6-iron.
And so Tom went first.
Tom went first, yeah.
All right, let's move over to Tom.
Let's move over to Tom, David. We're thrilled for you guys. Tom, what club did you use? Start there.
Well, I used the 6-iron as well. Actually, before we hit, Dave and I talked about it, and I said, this is always such a hard green to hit because it's semi-elevated a little bit, at least from the ground around it. So if you hit short of the green, it rarely runs up on. Right? So you have to hit the green. And the wind was coming out of the north and we were going in a northerly direction. And Dave and I had both hit 6-irons over the green. And if you're over the green much at all, you're in a deep creek crevasse.
Yeah.
and the ball's gone, you know. So we both decided to hit the sixes. And when I hit mine and I thought it went in, but you don't really know because the way the pin was lined up, it could have traveled and been in line with the pin and you wouldn't have been able to see it. But then when we got up to the green and looked, it was like, Well, I wasn't short. I know I hit on the green because there was no ball there and there was nothing beyond it. And then, Dave was already up at the pin. By that time, I was in a different cart, but Dave was already up at the pin jumping up and down.
And I see on the left, because Tom, I play Callaways. I only play Callaways. And I see on the left, one of you was hitting a Callaway. Is yours a Bridgestone?
No, mine was the Callaway.
Okay.
And when we put it in the hole, you know, when we took it, we turned it in the hole, we took the picture. He said, we got to show the labels here to give credit where credit's due. It was obviously the ball, right? So
I agree, but it was also, you guys knew what you were doing. You even discussed club selection. How long have you guys all been playing together, Tom?
Well, let's see. I've been retired 8 years. Dave, I don't know how long Dave's been out there.
Well, the odds of it have to be some million to one. Sam just looked it up. He said I was correct. It's 17 million to
one. It's 17 million to one, Tom.
Go buy a lottery ticket.
The 31,000 to one is just one hole in one, which is amazing in and of itself. But back-to-back consecutive strikes on the same hole in the same round is it's astronomical.
Well, it is pretty unbelievable, I'll say that. It's
how much was your bar tab?
Zero.
Pretty much.
I thought people who hit the hole in one have to buy the drinks.
That is right. The people who hit it have to buy. Hey, Tom, congratulations. I absolutely love this story.
Oh, it was quite an event.
All right, friend. We only have time for one more in the foursome, and he's a witness. Joe, hello.
How you doing today?
You didn't hit a hole in one with them.
I know. What's up, Joe? Come on.
Well, I was bragging that I've already hit three, you know, earlier in the day. And I don't need any more because it's expensive. You know? And these two goofballs get them back to back consecutively. So, I cannot believe that. Nobody's going to believe us because we belong to a cork soakers group, you know, because we're known to, you know, drink a little bit. But, his bar tab, they bought pitchers of beer. They got off cheap.
They got pitchers of beer. Hey, Joe, do me a favor. When you get back to where you're not driving, send me a photo of the balls in that cup side by side. And I'm going to post that as well and tag Callaway. And I think that's a Bridgestone in Dave's hand. And we'll make sure that the golf companies are tagged as well. What an incredible story.
Tom and David, congratulations. Joe, thank you for being a witness. Rick, we wish we could have gotten to you, but we're out of time.
You call us back when you get your hole in one, Rick.
Do apologize for you. Really? Wow. Dana has three holes in one. 913-586-7798. When we get back, I don't know when they started doing this, but when high school football playoffs start, and they started last week, I believe, or the week prior, I can't recall. I think it was last week. Every single team, regardless of your record, gets in. It was not like that 35 years ago when I played high school football. You had to earn your way into the playoffs. Some of the scores are downright embarrassing. I would argue cruel to the kids. We'll get to that in just a moment. 913-586-7798 here on Dana and Parks.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
So years ago, and by years ago, back in the dark ages when I played high school football, you played different teams. Some teams were in your league, and some teams were in your conference. And, for example, like my senior year, we won the Caw Valley League. But you had to win your conference, which was usually made up of a total of four teams, you and three other teams, and you had to win your conference to advance to the state playoffs, right? So we had six teams in our league, four teams in our conference. And if you didn't win your conference, I don't remember if it was one and two, but if you didn't win your conference, there was a chance you're not going to the state playoffs.
Yeah, your season is over after district.
Yeah, and good job, good times.
Great season, Dragon next year.
Get out, that's right.
That's how it was when I was in high school.
Right, but somewhere along the line, and I don't know about Missouri, so those of you on the Missouri side, help me out. Somewhere along the line, somebody says in Kansas it was around 2010, they started opening up the playoffs to every single team, regardless of your record. And what it's led to, in many cases, not all, but many cases, is a complete blowout for some of these lesser teams. And by lesser, I mean just less talented. And Dana got a message from someone, and I'll just read a little bit of it. Something about Blue Springs Wildcat game tonight against Truman. I was, of course, this is what one of Dana's friends wrote. I was, of course, glad that our Wildcats won the game, but I really did feel sorry for the boys on the Truman team, as they are unable to at least get a score on the board. The final score, by the way, was 55-0. This was a postseason game, and the Blue Springs Wildcats, so this is Blue Springs, so I guess Missouri does the same thing, play the Blue Springs South Jaguars at Blue Springs South next Friday night. Let's get the community out there, show support for both teams. Okay, great. So I started going through the scores of the recent Kansas side games.
Yeah, to compare.
This is the 6A, so these are the bigger schools, and it's 1 versus 16, 2 versus 15, 3 versus 14.
Yeah.
You know the drill.
Yeah.
So some of the games in the middle are pretty competitive, you know, when it's like 5 versus 12 or whatever. But in the East bracket, Gardner Edgerton, with a season record of 7-1, went up against Wyandotte High School with a record of 0-7.
Okay.
Do you care to guess who won?
Well,
you want to bet Gardner Edgerton, probably?
Yes.
63-0.
Okay, then when did this start and why are we doing this?
I don't know why we're doing it because it's brutal. In the West bracket in 6A, Derby, with a record of 8-0, went up against Wichita Hayesville with a record of 0-8. I'm going to guess Derby won. Oh, yep, they did. 62-7.
I guess I was mistaken. Somebody else on the text line says that my son graduated in 07 from Shawnee Mission West, and back then every team went to the playoffs.
Okay.
My school admittedly was horrible at football, so I guess I just assumed that was another game.
I'll just give you a couple of other examples. In the 5A brackets in the East, St. Thomas Aquinas has a record of 8-0. They're the one seed. They went up against Turner with a record of 0-8. I'm going to go ahead and guess that Thomas Aquinas won. They did, 35-6, a relatively close game. Now, I don't know if the coach at St. Thomas Aquinas called them off after they got to 35
but
points.
You have always said if the score is that bad, play harder,
practice harder.
This is at the end of the season. And so what is the point where some of the schools that are 0-10, whatever,
they're about to become 0-9.
They're not going past this, right? So what's the point?
Let me give you one more quick example. Mill Valley, where my children went to school, played Harmon, J.C. Harmon High School. The final score was 77-0.
Come on.
11 touchdowns.
Now, they made the shift, I'm assuming, to be more inclusive.
But by being more inclusive,
you're then making fun of the bad
teams
in a way.
You're humiliating these other teams like Harmon and Wyandotte High School that, for whatever reason, just couldn't score all year. You know?
Can the coaches decline? Because also, let's talk about injuries. Can the coaches decline from the schools that are 0-8? Can a coach say, we're going to go back to the drawing board, practice, protect our players?
I guess you could forfeit, but I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I get where people are saying, well, we're trying to be more inclusive and, you know, everybody gets a participation trophy or whatever. No, you don't. Sometimes you just have a really bad season and you don't get to go to the playoffs.
If you ain't first, you last.
Well, that's right. That's right. Telephone number here is 913-586-7798. 586-7798. I mean, you would have to think that whatever team it was that lost to Gardner Edgerton, you have to think that even the coach of the other team and the players on the other team knew that they were going into a buzzsaw.
And I love what the mom wrote, because she was with the winning team. She said, "I'm of course glad that we won the game, but I really did feel sorry for the boys on the Truman team as they were unable to at least get a score on the board."
From the text line, yes, yes, yes. They want to play another game regardless of the outcome, especially for a senior.
Yeah, I guess you're right. If you're a senior, you want to play, but at 55-0, wouldn't you rather just...
What about the Mill Valley score, 77-0?
Yeah, the phones are already ringing. When did we start doing this? And will it continue?
I don't know. Somebody says it sounds like early season KU basketball. Here's the difference.
Money's exchanged.
That's exactly right. Those teams don't come to Lawrence for free, and they also get TV exposure they'll never get for the rest of the season. I mean, there are teams you would have never heard of. And quite frankly, KU also always throws in one of the state regent schools, like Fort Hays University or Emporia State, because a lot of those kids grew up in Kansas and just for the opportunity to play at Allen Fieldhouse. So I see why they do it. You know, the coach at Emporia State might say, "Hey, I know you really want to play for KU, but come play for me, and at least I'll get you into Allen Fieldhouse once, and you can play against the Jayhawks." Let's go to Tom in Kansas City. Tom, hello.
Hi,
Tom. Hi. Hi.
Yeah, I was calling on this football thing, and the reason they went to this is that it used to be you did the conferences like you were saying when you played. Mm-hmm. The problem is that not all conferences have the same size schools. For example, you might have a 5A, a 4A, and a 3A school in the same conference. So what they did was they assigned the districts the last three games of the year. The state assigns them all by the classification.
But why not then, if the conferences are all potentially different classes, 5A, 3A, whatever, then why not go off the league schedule where those schools are more similarly sized?
Well, by going with because here's an example. One school in Missouri a few years ago, because they played larger schools in their conference, went 0-7. Then they went into the district play the last three games, and they won two of those three and moved on, because only the top two teams in the district play get to move on. Mm. So it's not everybody's moving on. You're assigned an 18 district, but only two of them get to move on.
But, Tom, you're a former coach, you said. How do you feel about every single team getting in?
Well, they're not really getting in. As I said, these are just games that are assigned on your last three. And having been on the bottom side of that for years, I realized that I'm being assigned by location more so than by ranking or positioning, but it's
But in Kansas, it's not that way. These are the actual state championship playoffs that I was reporting on, where, for example, St. Thomas Aquinas plays Turner and Mill Valley plays J.C. Harmon. These are actual playoffs where the teams have been seeded.
Huh. Well, yeah, it's. I'm not sure in Kansas how they do that. I'm just saying on the Missouri side.
Yeah.
Only the top two teams out of that, because you play three games, and then your record within the district determines who moves on.
Okay, Tom. Hey, do appreciate
Thank
the
you,
time.
Tom.
Thank you for it. And sounds like you got a cute kid in the back. Cindy in Kansas City. Hello, Cindy.
Hi. I just wanted to comment that I think it's not about the teams, that it's more about the individual players. If you had, let's say, a really good kicker and you're on a team that pretty much has lost all season, you don't get the opportunity for college recruiters to see you until the playoffs, when they're able to really focus on the players in the playoffs. So they decided to open it up to everyone. And maybe they should consider, instead of making fun of the teams that have a losing record, to have demo games where if you are, say, a good kicker and you want to demonstrate what you can do to the college recruiters, that you do that in the postseason.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a great point. But I'll tell you, Cindy, because my nephew is a Division I college kicker. The way a lot of players are found, of course, you're going to have the super great players that the scouts are going to come watch from, you know, every Division I college in the country. But my nephew didn't have scouts come down to Wichita and watch him play high school football and watch him kick. What a lot of the players do is in the summers, especially the summer right before your senior year.
They go to camps, don't they?
My brother and his wife and my nephew Sam went to so many camps, I thought my brother was going to keel over from exhaustion. They went everywhere from KU to K-State to Indiana. Wichita.
Which costs.
I was going to say, they don't have a football team.
Which costs
enormous amounts of
money. And so that's not fair either. So then you're saying, okay, if you're a decent player with means, and I'm not talking about your nephew, I'm talking about across the board, if you're a decent player with means, you have a much better shot at getting in front of the eyeballs that need to see you to move forward.
Well, and it's not just, you know, in-state schools. I mean, my nephew now goes to South Dakota. And he's a kicker at South Dakota. But my brother went up to Minnesota, out to Indiana. I mean, they were all over the map a year ago. Almost every weekend, they were in another city for Sam to kick for the schools. 913-586-7798. 913-586-7798. If you'd like to comment, that's also the text line. Feel free. Dana Wright, Sam Stevie III. My name is Scott here on KMBZ. We did talk Dana's passion earlier this hour, right after the 4 o'clock news. Star Wars fans, I have some wonderful news to share with you today. Wonderful news.
I suppose I have that coming.
You're already typing Macy's.com?
Yep.
He hasn't even started talking about it yet.
Kimberly in Shawnee. Kimberly, hello.
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 Hi. Yeah, go ahead.
Kimberly.
Oh, okay, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Yes, you are.
If you called a radio station and we said hello, you're on.
First time caller. Okay, yes. So, yeah, I'm Kimberly, and I'm from Shawnee, and my son is a senior at Mill Valley High School. He's a varsity starter for the team. And, of course, we were at the game against J.C. Harmon, and I definitely think that the playoff thing needs to change because it is so unfair. They had maybe 30 players. And in their stands, we could count, not even 20 parents showed up. Where we have about 100 kids on our sidelines, they allow all of our freshmen to suit up because our freshmen were playing by the fourth quarter.
And so the stands are packed.
Totally. Yeah. You know, Mill Valley.
Yeah.
totally packed. So by the end of the game, I don't have confirmation, but I swear some of our student section went over there because I could see they had a student section all of a sudden. And I'm like, those are our kids that went over to their side. And by my son being a starter, he played the first three series and then he was out. By the second quarter, we did a running clock. So we were not trying to run up the score. We weren't even sending a kid back for punt return by the second half. We just let them punt and it just rolled to try not to even have us return it. And, you know, we tried our best not to score 77 points. And, you know, they were, you know, bless them. They did their best over there, and they had some good athletes at Harmon. But when you only have 30 kids on the team, they have to play every snap both ways, where we do what's called platooning. Our kids only go in for offense or defense or special teams. So I definitely think there should be a way if you could have, like, the kids with the lower record, maybe they play each other versus the higher record, because it's definitely that first round of playoffs is so uneven.
Well, and Kimberly, I don't know Coach Appleby, but I know a lot of people that do. If he's putting in freshmen in the second half of the game, clearly he's not trying to run up the score, but you can't tell the kids, hey, we're going to hand it off to you and just fall down on the ground.
Exactly. And those freshmen, you know, they want to get in the end zone. They're like, yeah, I'm in a varsity game. So, yeah, and even my son. So the first two offensive series of the game for Mill Valley, we scored on the first play. So first was a handoff, and then we had a long pass. Scored on the first play. So the third play was my son got the ball, and he could have probably done a move. But he actually decided, he said, Mom, I wasn't going to do it. So he just kind of went down, you know, out of just sportsmanship. And so it is, it's hard because you want those kids, and of course he's varsity, but like you said, the freshmen, by the time they're out there, they do want to do their best.
Yeah, and Kimberly, I got to stop you there. I do appreciate we're running out of time.
Thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you.
And despite them trying to lessen the impact, it was still 77-0.
I mean, they were putting freshmen in, not putting anybody back for a punt return. I mean, there's not much more you can do other than to purposefully throw an interception or tell a kid to fumble the ball and everybody else on the team don't go after.
And the other players wouldn't like that either.
No, and that's not fair to them.
Well, and freshmen going out there, going up against seniors, you've got massive size
These
difference.
These are 14-year-olds playing 18-year-olds.
Well, that's why I mentioned the injuries earlier. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me.
Mando in Mission, we've got less than 1 minute. If you can do it, go ahead.
Well, actually, there's a lot of good points people are making, but my concern is it's good for the kids to get exposure. My kids went to Blue Valley West, and the amenities that they have out there for the kids are superior far than what they have in the inner city. The inner city needs to have some grassroots programs. That's all I can say about the matter. Thank you.
Okay. All right, man. Good call, Mando. I don't know what the answer is to that. There is inequity, clearly, in what is provided to certain schools. And other schools in more affluent districts get better amenities. Life is not fair, and I'm not trying to be coy about it. News with Dan Weinbaum is coming your way in 2 minutes. Don't forget to check out the Dan and Parks podcast. It is available at KMBZ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.